We conclude our series on the armor of God and ask you again to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. And while you're doing that, I just want to point out something in this affirmation of faith from the book of Jude, that you've heard the expression, love the sinner, hate the sin. I even had somebody tell me once that that's nowhere in the Bible, that concept is nowhere in the Bible. Where we get it from is here in Jude, where it says, to others show mercy, which is love, with fear. So the fear is fearing unbelief, and hating even the garment stained by the flesh. So hating the sin, loving the sinner, hating the sin. And that's what God calls us to do. And before we get into this passage again, Darlene and David and Michelle thanked everybody involved in this. And I just want to again acknowledge their involvement, their months and months of preparation. And sometimes, just sometimes, it gets a little easier during the week that all the preparation work is done. And it didn't this year. There was still a lot of details. And part of that is because we put together our own curriculum, and it didn't have all the various helps and different things. And just by nature of things, it meant an extra hard week. But they would say a good week, a blessed week, and grateful to serve. So I just want to thank them, and let's, as a congregation, thank them for their service. Ephesians 6. By now we should have it, if not memorized, we should have it pretty well focused in our brains, the concepts that are here. So I'll read verses 10 through 20. And today our focus is prayer in the Spirit. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So the past several weeks we've talked about this passage, that it is referring to spiritual warfare. Paul uses the image of the Roman soldier, someone that was seen every day. They were seen everywhere. So it's a brilliant way to bring an image and put spiritual realities with that. So we can remember what it means for each of these. So Paul is talking to us about engaging in the spiritual battle. A battle that is taking place here, he says, it's against the rulers, the authorities, the cosmic powers over this present darkness, and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Pretty heavy duty. So who can stand up against them? We can't by ourselves. That's why Paul says, here, put on this armor that God gives you, and God is the one who is sufficient. We talked about how the victory has already been won by Jesus Christ. But the battles continue. But the victory is assured, as is our future. So put on the full armor of God. Doesn't say put a few pieces on. When Paul talks about spiritual gifts, he'll talk about how spiritual gifts are given as the Spirit decides to individuals. And not everybody has all the spiritual gifts, and we don't get to choose them ourselves. Different with the armor. The armor, we're to take all of it. God gives all the pieces to everyone. So these gifts of God given to us, we need all of it. We're to be strong in the Lord and in His strength, His power. And so the armor directs us to God's power. And the purpose, again, to stand against the schemes of the devil. And we talked about how the devil is the father of lies. That's what Jesus called him. And how Satan can also disguise himself as an angel of light so that he'll take 99.9% truth, just mix one little bit of a lie in there. It looks beautiful, it looks good, and we're off target. And so we want to be clear on what truth is, and God gives us His truth. We want to be able to gauge that against everything that we encounter every day. So we begin with that belt of truth. That's where Paul begins, in the center. It's not the most logical place. I would probably begin top, work your way down. But we're centered in the truth of God. And then that breastplate of righteousness, again, it's the righteousness of Christ. It's that wonderful thing that we have in salvation by Christ alone, is that we receive, through faith, the righteousness of Christ, so that we will be able to stand before God and be righteous. Some theologians call that positional righteousness. Our position before God is righteous because of Christ, not because of us. So we receive that breastplate of righteousness. Then we're fitted with the shoes, with the readiness for the gospel of peace. So we're to be ready to be able to share the good news with others. Then we have the shield of faith. Faith is an important element, and with faith we're able to remember the promises of God, remember who God is, be connected to God and His strength. And so that shield of faith protects us from those flaming darts, flaming arrows, whatever translation we have, that talks about the temptations or the stumbling blocks that Satan puts in front of us. And those vary. I mean, those can be good things that distract us from God, or they can be the absolutely horrible, painful things that we deal in life that cause us to not believe in God's goodness, to question God. And so Satan wants us to be diverted from who God really is, a God who is fully good and righteous and cares for us. So we have the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation to protect our head, and again, the mind that can focus on God and think clearly about how we make decisions. So the helmet of salvation reminds us again and again that we are God's people, we are saved. Because one of those flaming darts of Satan will be to cause us to question our salvation. The helmet of salvation reminds us that we are saved. And the sword of the Spirit becomes that first weapon that is offensive as well as being defensive. All the others are defensive. So it's meant to move forward in a positive way, always using the word to bring forth the gospel with people. It might be to gently correct people, but it's usually, you look at the New Testament where it talks about correcting and reproving people. It's talking about within the body of Christ, the community of faith. So our job isn't to go out into the world and tell people that you need to get your life together. It's to tell them there's something better out there. And it's God. And He sent His Son Jesus. And we can have God's love and joy and peace in our lives. So we receive all of these pieces of armor, God's gift to us. That's great. Then Paul talks about prayer. And he says, when we receive the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, it says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. When it comes to looking at prayer, it raises a question: is prayer part of the armor? Or is it something that kind of holds all the armor together? Is it something that is involved with every piece? And really, an argument can be made in each direction. If it's part of the armor, our speaking forth words can be very powerful. It's speaking forth the gospel. When we're praying to God, we're asking our commander for direction. We need to be able to do that. And for strength, for reinforcements, because we're not in this alone. We're together. And one of the images there for the children was the shield of faith. And a Roman soldier's shield was actually different from the shield there. It was more of a rectangle, large, to protect the body. And so it was protected not only yourself, but when you were in the ranks, then it formed a complete covering, top and all the sides, as they worked together. Prayer. Where does it fit in there? I think that I lean towards prayer being something that is there for all the pieces. It's kind of you could call it the glue that holds it all together, or it's what draws us in so that we can have the armor of God. But it is still something that we use to speak forth, so it becomes something like a piece of the armor. Well, the first thing that Paul says about prayer is that we're to pray in the Spirit. And when we talk about praying in the Spirit, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. So prayer in the Spirit means that we are connected with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus told his disciples when he said that he was going to go away, he said, I'm not going to leave you desolate. Don't be afraid. And he talked about sending another comforter, an advocate, and that's the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit came upon the church at Pentecost in a very powerful way, and we engage the Spirit. We're in a relationship with the Spirit, and the Spirit testifies about Christ. So we are in fellowship with the Spirit of God, and that's our connection with Christ and the Father. It's through the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Spirit means that we're asking the Holy Spirit to fill us and to interpret our prayers to the Father. And the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8 talks about that the Spirit is able to intercede for us with sighs too deep for words. Because sometimes we don't know how to pray as we ought to. Fellowship in the Spirit brings that Holy Spirit in so that the Spirit can pray for us. As we're engaged in spiritual battle, sometimes we don't know what to pray for. But if we're praying for the Spirit to help us and guide us, the Spirit is interceding for us. And so fellowship with the Spirit is very much a part of praying in the Spirit. And the help that we get from the Spirit. So we're asking very direct help from the Holy Spirit. Give us strength. Give us wisdom. Give us strategy. It is through the Spirit that we hear God's Word. Some people, on occasion, can hear a voice that they would say is from God, that nobody else can hear, or have a prayer that you would say, this is God speaking to me. I can think of dreams that you have from God. I've had two dreams in my life that I know were from God. God giving me those to encourage me or to give me a little bit of a direction. So God can speak to us in our dreams. He can speak to us. Then through prayer, you might hear a voice. But for most of us and most of the time, the way that we hear God is through the Holy Spirit working with Scripture. And the Spirit inspired the Scriptures so that when we're reading Scripture and we're praying, reveal to me the truth that is here. Help me to understand things that are here. And to see God's will. And the Spirit testifies into our hearts and reveals to us the things of God. And helps us also then, in God's Word, to see spiritual goals. So that our prayers, being praying in the Spirit, are prayers that are really seeking what God wants. What's God's will? What's God's direction? What are His goals? And so we're making those our goals. So we want to be people, with our prayers, we're very consciously praying in the Spirit. Then Paul uses the word all 4 times. And when he does that, when he uses the same word over and over again, and he's emphasizing something, and so he says, be in prayer at all times. Now, I don't think Paul is saying that every waking minute that we're to be in prayer. Hopefully our lives take on a prayerful feel to them so that whatever we're involved in, we're trying to, just every once in a while we're thinking about God, but just our life is a prayer to God. Everything that we're seeking to do and think and say is holy. But what he is saying at this all times is that every circumstance in life, every decision that is kind of an important thing, not just what socks I'm going to put on or what coat, but we're thinking about our goals in life or how we're going to engage people today. Every circumstance is appropriate for prayer. And so at all times, be in prayer. And then he says that it's with all prayer and supplication. And the New Testament has different words that it'll throw in there for prayer, different elements of it. Paul will talk about thanksgiving. It's gratitude. It's part of prayer. So all types of prayers were to come before God with. And so it could be our supplications. We're praying for other people. Our requests that we have, things for ourselves perhaps. So we pray for healings. We pray for safety for people as they travel. We pray for families and marriages. I mean, the list goes on and on of the things that we bring before God, our requests. And Paul is saying, do that. Bring all kinds of prayers before God. And in all perseverance, we keep taking our prayers to God. Not that we're going to wear Him down and He's going to finally give us what we want. Because we're taking our prayers to a sovereign God that knows in advance what we need. And I believe that one of the things about prayer that is so important is that God shapes our prayers so that we're praying in His will. So if I'm praying for healing in my own body and it's not coming, then I'm going to be shifting my prayer to say, well, then God, help me to endure the pain that is here or the frustration. Help me to have a joyful countenance in the midst of it. And then allow that prayer to be the one that God is going to answer. So we just keep on in our prayers. And sometimes it isn't that God is changing the focus of our prayer, but he's saying, just wait. The payoff's going to be there. You know, so we pray, a lot of us, for our children or our grandchildren, that they would know the Lord and love the Lord and serve the Lord. And sometimes those prayers go for decades. And God is saying, just keep praying. Just keep praying. So in all perseverance. And then he says, for all the saints. It's for all the other Christians. We're to continue to pray for one another, but not just us here at Parkway, reminding us to extend outward, because there are Christians all over the world who are in need of prayer. So we're praying. We don't know them all by name. We can't do that. It would take forever with our prayers. But we just want to remember, Lord, build up your saints. Give them strength. We pray for missionaries. You know, Lord, give them words to share and keep them safe on the mission field. So we want to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ throughout this world. So pray for all times, all kinds of prayers, all perseverance, and all the saints. Then Paul throws in there, pray also for me. And he says, because here's what I'm about. Here's what God has given to me as a commission. So pray for these things. Paul's commission was unique in some ways, but there were others that were apostles, and there were also evangelists, and they have those unique gifts, and we're not all evangelists. Maybe very few have that gift and feel comfortable in that role, and yet we're all called to be witnesses and to be ready to share the hope that we have inside of us. Not an easy thing. So we're going to take what Paul's commission was and his prayer, what he was asking for the churches to pray for him, and we're going to look at those for us. And in here, we see God's desire for all people to know him. And that's, as we pray, we're praying for God's will. We're praying for God's goals to be fulfilled. God's desire is that all people would look to him, to acknowledge him, to love him, to delight in God, and find their hope and their strength in him. And so that's what we want to cultivate in our own hearts, is that deep desire, so that we see people in a complete sense. Part of their need is a spiritual need, and trying to address that. Paul says, pray for me that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Here's Paul. He's a dedicated and accomplished evangelist. He was trained in the scriptures from when he was young, and then as a Pharisee, he knew the scriptures incredibly well. And through his experience in sharing the gospel with both Jews and Gentiles, very gifted in that. And yet he asks for the churches to pray for him so he'd know how to do this, so he'd have the right words. How much more do we need to pray for that? To pray for the appropriate words to show people the glory of Christ. Because it's not easy. Because Paul knew as he went from town to town, from country to country, culture to culture, people understood things in slightly different ways. They used language, even though Greek was the universal language, they used slightly different words and used some of the words in slightly different ways. And they treasured different things. And so he wanted to be able to grab a hold of the things that they understood and share the gospel using those images and thoughts. And so we're praying for God to give us appropriate words and images. You know, the tools that are around us to display the glory of God. And for each of us, it's uniquely different. Sometimes you can use the things of your own profession, the various elements of it, and draw a picture of the gospel with that. Or it might be things in creation around us. Whatever it might be, God is calling us to use the appropriate words at the right time, and he's going to help us do that. Paul, who has this commission from God, who saw the risen Lord and his passion is to share the gospel, part of his prayer is that he would do it boldly. So even he, at times, would feel not quite as bold. He's going to go into a new situation. He didn't know what he's going to encounter. And at times, he was beaten, chased out of town, imprisoned. So he's praying for boldness. I think it's pretty safe to say that we haven't experienced those things. Sometimes we need boldness because we're just a little bit shy about sharing Christ. We don't want to, we think, offend somebody. Or maybe really what's going on inside of us, and I'm speaking for myself, is I don't want someone to judge me and reject me. Who likes rejection? And sometimes when we share Christ, we get rejected. So boldness, we need to pray for boldness. And then Paul throws in here, as he shares the mystery of the gospel, and that mystery is all about Christ being revealed. That God's forgiveness that was always there when people had faith, it's now revealed that it's through Jesus Christ, who was the one who died in our place, took our sins upon himself, and we can be forgiven. The elements of justice are met. Paul says this, I'm going to share this mystery, for which I am an ambassador in chains. See, he's in prison when he's writing this. And he's in chains. It's not comfortable. There are times when the sharing of the good news of Jesus, it might not be comfortable for us. It's going to stretch us. And so we want to value Christ above our comfort. And we look to Jesus, who is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, that's what the writer of Hebrews says, and who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. Jesus went through the persecution, the pain, the suffering, but he paid the price for us. We might be uncomfortable at times, and there might come a time where in this country we might suffer something even more for the sake of Christ. But we're called to value him, Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your great love. There is no greater thing that we can experience. We would ask that you would help us with our prayers, that they would be in the Spirit, that they would be more fervent, more frequent, more focused, that you would help us put on the armor of God and to advance the gospel with boldness and with great love and gentleness and creativity, share Jesus with others. Lord, I pray that you would give us opportunities and that we would see them and that through prayer we would follow up on them. We bring these things in Jesus' name. Amen.